I am so honored to be here. I want to thank my great friend, Dr. Bowles, for the invitation. I'm just honored to be here. And I've known your pastor for, well over two, probably three decades. And he is just a blessing to me, and he has been all these years. Just a great mentor, a friend, and colleague. And I also am very familiar with your interim pastor that you had, Dr. David Allen. He and I are great friends as well. I've known him for a number of years, and he and his family, and it's just an honor to be here, and we're grateful. I serve as the senior strategist for Missional Ministries at the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention, and I am 3.5 years into that post. I transitioned after 30 years pastoring North Garland Baptist Fellowship in Garland. Don't you feel bad for those people? 30 years putting up with me. and we're still members. My wife and I, we're still members. And she's my traveling buddy, and she's not with me today. She is returning from a women's retreat, and today is her birthday as well. So happy birthday to everybody who has a birthday today. Amen. The Lord is so good. He's so good. And we're just very grateful. Well, I know you all remember last year when we had the total eclipse. It was just fascinating, wasn't it? That total eclipse, and many of you probably even remember where you were during that time, and everybody got the glasses and, you know, to be able to see that total eclipse. And it was so much involvement around the eclipse. I mean, people were having eclipse parties, and the schools were having all kinds of activities for the kids. And that eclipse was absolutely fascinating. And during that time and leading up to it, I kept reminding myself and saying, wow, you know, God is some God. And I wish people would really know that the Lord holds everything together. The creation is His. He spoke and there was. And Christ our Lord holds everything together. And if we could get excited, I was telling folks back then, if we can get as excited over Jesus, who is in control of all of this, what a world this would be. And I want to look at a story today, a narrative today in the New Testament, a very familiar one, Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, looking at verses 35 through 41. And it's a very familiar passage that I want us to look at. And it's dealing with Christ stilling the storm. And I want to basically talk about keep trusting God during the storm. But let me go ahead and read verse 40. He says, "And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?'" And that whole context there, beginning with verse 35, "On that day when Jesus came, he said to them, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Hush, be still.' And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid?'" Verse 40 again. "Do you still have no faith?" They became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" You know, I get so excited over scripture, I could just read it. And it's just exciting to me. Now, let me say parenthetically that whenever I preach at a church And whenever I was pastoring, I would tell our folks, now, if I don't hear an amen, that means to me that I'm not doing well and I have to preach another hour. I think y'all get the picture, okay? Praise the Lord. Okay, so listen, I want to walk through here and just pull out some fresh water, if you will, from this old well. This is an old well. It's a great passage that most of us are familiar with. And I want to just kind of walk through here and encourage us as to why we should trust him during the storm. Keep trusting God during the storm, whatever storm you have. And I'm using that in a way, metaphorically. You know, we have storms, we have challenges in life, we have problems in life. I don't know your state this morning. I don't know how you arrived here at the church, but many of us perhaps are going through some really tough times right now. And if you have not gone through tough times, just keep living a little longer. You are either, you know, going to enter into a storm, or you are currently in a storm, or you have just come out of a storm of life. And I love this passage because it gives us confidence. It gives us clarity. It's a great, great account that the Lord put on record for our encouragement. And that's what we want to do this morning. We want to encourage every soul in here. So here's the first principle that I see that I want to bring out. Let's keep trusting him during the toughest times in life. The toughest times in life. And that comes from verse 37. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. There arose a fierce gale of wind. And in this context, geographically, you know, storms can just pop up all of a sudden. And it's one thing when you have the opportunity to prepare for a human storm, right? You know it's coming. It's one thing to be ready and to be prayed up because something is on the way. You know it's coming. But when you have an all of a sudden storm, how many of us have ever experienced an all of a sudden storm? This was an all of a sudden storm, and there arose a fierce gale of wind. All of a sudden storm, and all of a sudden gust of wind. Have you ever had an all of a sudden challenge in your life? All of a sudden you lose a job. All of a sudden the haters come out. All of a sudden, you have problems. All of a sudden, you know, you have to file bankruptcy. All of a sudden, God gives you a teenager. Teenagers, I love y'all. Now, that was just, you know. But then all of a sudden, you get sick. All of a sudden, children may start acting up. All of a sudden, a trial comes. Don't you remember our friend Job? Oh, when I get to heaven, I tell you what, I want to meet every single person that we talk about in the Bible. Job is definitely one of them. Job, that was an all of a sudden storm that Job experienced. Doing all the right things, prayed up, serving the Lord, praying for his family, praying for his children, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a storm of life came. It happens to the best of us. But the scripture lets us know, hey, listen, we need to keep trusting him during the storm, during the fiercest of times. And let me give us a couple of reasons why. Here's the first reason. Because God is spot on when directing our lives. God is spot on when directing our lives. Right there in verse 35, it says, on that day when evening came, he said to them, let us go over to the other side. Jesus gave the invitation. He gave them the invitation. God is always spot on when directing our lives. He knows what's happening. So I want to encourage you that whenever you are going through a challenge, whenever you are having a problem, and it's a tough, tough time, always remember that God is in control, and if you're following the will of God, no matter what comes your way, He knows what's happening. He's always spot on when directing our lives. He gave the invitation. Let us go over to the other side. So if He gave the invitation, we know that the Lord was in control. Here's the second thing. Our Lord, I love this. Our Lord is always close enough to deliver us from danger. He's close enough to deliver us from danger. Yes, He is. He is close enough to deliver us from danger. Verse 36, leaving the crowd, they took Him along with them in the boat, just as He was, and the other boats were with Him. They took Him along. He's close enough to deliver them from danger. And Christ is close enough to you, my friend. I know it's tough. I know it's rough. And as humans, you know what? We just don't have the capacity to really handle a whole lot of tough, tough things. That's why we need to lean on and lean into Jesus, and we need to pray each and every day so that when these tough times come, that we can lean on the Lord and have comfort from the Lord. I like what Warren Wiersbe says about this whole thing. He says, why the disciples should not have been disturbed. To begin with, they had this promise that they were going to the other side. His commandments are always His enablements, and nothing can hinder the working out of His plans. He did not promise an easy trip, but He did promise a guaranteed arrival at their destination. I love that word there. That's a great word. A guaranteed arrival. See, whatever God has for you, whatever He has for me, I guarantee you it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So He's always close enough to us, and He directs our lives. And you never know what God has for you on the other end, even in the midst of things that may be unpleasant or if things look a different way than you thought it would look. If God is directing your life, you just never know what the outcome would be, and it would be to His glory. I grew up in Buffalo, New York, in the hood, y'all. I mean, in the hood, in Buffalo, New York, in the hood. I don't know if you've been to Buffalo, but I grew up on the east side, and this is hyperbole, okay? I grew up where the sewer rats were killing the cats and fighting some of the dogs. Hyperbole. But I grew up in an area there. I was my parents divorced when I was about 12 years old, and I stayed with my dad. Our family, we were dysfunctional before we knew what dysfunctionality was. It was a tough upbringing, you know, in a tough household. And when I was 12 or so, our parents divorced, and we were all kind of scattered. And because of the context and everything that was going on, I ended up staying with my father, and I was a latchkey kid at age 12 for about maybe 2 years or so. I get the years off, but I would let myself in the home and all that. We weren't raised in church. I didn't know anything about the Lord. And while I was with my father, living with him, some friends across the street, the Robesons, to this day, we're like family. They took me to church for the first time when I was a teenager, and I just went there, 12 or 13 years old. I just went there to play. We were passing notes and everything, you know. I went there to play. Every now and then, I would listen to the preacher, and I would listen to the choir sing, but then we would start playing again. And the only reason I went to church, really, was to play with my friends. And during that young, formative life and years that I had, the Lord gave me a talent to play basketball. And I played I stayed on the basketball court outside. I played day in and day out and worked on my game. And after a few years, I've moved with my mom. My mother's the best lady on the planet. Oh, my gosh. She was such a hard worker. She got herself together. And we all got back with my mom. And I tell you, I played basketball. I used to have keys to the Masson Boys Club there. And I would sneak in to work out. Playing basketball. And they all knew that I played. They all knew that we were going in there. So that developed, and then by the grace of God, I'm in Buffalo, New York, and then I get a call. I played in the Empire State Games in New York back in the 80s. And in the Empire State Games, it was there that I played against Chris Mullin, Sidney Green. I played against some really wonderful players who later on went to the NBA. I wasn't blessed enough to go to the NBA. I wish I had their money, but I don't have it. But anyhow, it was during the Empire State Games where I got recruited from Kevin Cato, who was the assistant coach at Angelo State University in San Angelo, Texas. And when I heard Texas, I saw big stars and big money and, boy, big cities and big, big, big. And I said, wow, I am so blessed. And I came to Texas from Buffalo, New York in the early 80s as fast as I could. Lost, not saved, no ecclesiastical background, just that little period where I went to church. And when I got to San Angelo, and I love San Angelo, don't get me wrong, I'm talking about the past. I left the city of Buffalo and landed in West Texas. But remember my second principle is God, you know, he's close enough to be with us, and he's always directing our lives no matter what. So in my mind, it wasn't a storm, it was just kind of like clouds in the air, you know, dark clouds. Because I would say, wow, I'm in San Angelo. And I've never experienced anything like that in my life. The people were so friendly. When we drove in the car at the stop sign, they would tell you to go ahead and go. I was shocked. I can go first? And they would wave, and amazing. And it was there in San Angelo, Texas, away from the city, the inner city, out there where it was so hot, I never experienced that kind of heat in my life. It was there in San Angelo that I tore a muscle calf, I had to redshirt my first year, and I sunk into a depression. It was a storm for me, because basketball was my life. And it was a storm. I sunk into a depression, a deep depression. And I had some roommates who were talking to me about Jesus. And I reflected back when I used to play in church. And someone gave me a book called Powerful Living with the testimonies of Julius Erving and Tom Landry and all these other athletes and how they loved the Lord. And in the back of that book, what was called The Sinner's Prayer. And I remember in my dorm room, my friends, in my dorm room, I was so sincere, so broken. I was lost. And I needed someone to come into my life. And in my dorm room, in the back of that book, I prayed. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I believe that you died on the cross and that you rose from the dead. And I accepted Christ in my dorm room. Hallelujah. And guess what he did? Oh, listen. I accepted Christ in my dorm room. I went home to the church where my friends took me years ago. And the pastor wanted to make sure that I was legit. I got baptized. I got baptized. Came back to Texas to play basketball in the early 80s. And guess what, brothers and sisters? 1 year later, 1 year later, the Lord called me to preach. I said, oh, Lord, I don't know. Now, I've given my life to you, but are you sure about this? You want me? Are you directing this? Are you spot on with directing my life? Are you really, are you close enough to me to, this is confusing to me. I don't have an ecclesiastical background. I don't have a theological background. I don't have a church background. And you want me to preach? And the answer was yes. And a few years later, guess what? He called me to pastor. Oh, what is my point? God is always, those first two sub-principles, he directs our lives. He's always spot on. Even when things seem kind of cloudy, even when things are kind of foggy, even when things are kind of stormy, we trust God because God directs our lives and he is close enough, always close enough to us to get us out of the storm. So you be encouraged. You lift your head up today. I don't know what you're going through. And let me tell you this also. Never give up on people. Never give up on folks. They may have a rough upbringing. They may not be doing the things that they ought to do. But God may have a plan for that individual. And you may be the blessing. You may be the pathway. You may be an instrument that God will use to bring that person to fruition for his or her life. I graduated from Angelo State in San Angelo. And when I went there, and I'll be honest, when I first looked around, I said, oh, Lord, what have I done? Met my wife in San Angelo. Our firstborn was born in San Angelo. Got lifelong friends in San Angelo. Look how God works. See, we never know. Oh, I want you to know. Keep trusting him during the toughest times in life. You trust him with because God is spot on when directing our lives. And also remember that the Lord is close enough to deliver us from danger. Oh, they took him with them in the boat. And then third, listen to this. Listen to this. Our Lord is always cool in the midst of our chaos. He's always cool in the midst of our chaos. Don't you love Jesus? Don't you just love Jesus? Aren't you glad you're saved this morning? And let me read the context again. Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were there with him, and there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Now, Christ was cool in the midst of the chaos. You mean to tell me, Jesus, you're going to be asleep? You know, now, be honest now. Have you guys ever felt like, you know, be honest. Have you ever felt like, Lord, are you on vacation? Have you ever felt like, Lord, don't you see what we're going through? This storm is rough. Matter of fact, it's so tough. The Bible says that the boat was already being filled in verse 37, and the waves were breaking over the boat, and the boat was filling up. Has your life ever felt like that? Man, I mean, it is so rough out here, and I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I'm calling on the Lord, and it seems like the Lord is just taking a good nap. Have you ever felt like that? He was cool in the midst of the chaos. Cool while they thought they were being threatened. Cool while they were afraid. He was asleep on the cushion. Asleep on the cushion. Our God is amazing. And I want you to know, just because the Lord may seem like he's not responding to you, he is omniscient and he knows everything. He knows everything. And this leads to our second principle that I want you to really hold on to this, okay? And I'm trying to deliver this in a way where you can take this home, put it in the microwave, reheat it, and serve it to other folks and serve it to yourself. I mean, it needs to be in your bones. I want you to see this, okay? I want you to get into this text, and I want you to put yourself into this text. I want you to put yourself in the disciples' shoes. Are you there? Can you see this? The boat, it's just filling with water. And they're saying, Jesus, don't you care? Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing and Christ is asleep? I want you to know that Christ responds in his own time to our negative circumstances. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. Y'all can say amen. Yes, he does. In his own time. Now, let me say before I really unpack this here, just one text here. Let me say this. A lot of people, a lot of Christians, unfortunately, when we pray and when we ask the Lord, Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? We ask the Lord to come through for us. Sometimes we're looking for an immediate yes. And then sometimes, you know, the Lord may answer the prayer in a different way, right? We pray for one thing and wow, we pray for more faith and to be strong and all of a sudden the storm comes. Well, Lord, I didn't pray for the storm. I prayed for faith. Well, the storm is going to make you pray more, which is going to strengthen your faith. And sometimes the Lord says, no. Now, if you've had little kids before, sometimes you tell the kid no and they just don't understand. They said, well, you didn't answer me, Dad. Oh, yes, I did. No is no. That's an answer. But then sometimes the Lord will show up, and he does in his own way. So let's remind ourselves that he responds to our negative circumstances. And in this context, look what he did. The verse 39 says, and he what, y'all? What did he do? He got up. He got up. And the Bible says, and rebuked the wind and the sea. Look at that response. Oh, I know you read this before. I know you read it a lot of times. You taught it in Sunday school. You've read this. It's just beautiful, isn't it? And I tell you what, this, if I get to shouting, y'all forgive me. Because it's good to me. He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea. Now, look, this is beautiful here. Now, he's rebuking the wind and said to the sea. These aren't human beings. This is how powerful our Lord Jesus is. And this is why people ought to praise the name of the Lord each and every day. He is just not in control of humanity. And he said to the sea. The scripture is clear, showing us the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why when we have our storms, as significant as they are and as serious as they are, we need to trust the Lord because he is in control of everything. Uses beautiful Greek words here. He says, hush, be still. From a word, the picture is this. Now, y'all, close your ears, okay? Plug your ears a little bit. I'm warning y'all. He got up and said, and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, here it comes. Shut up! Shut up! And then, guess what he used? Another word that he used, a word picture here. Be muzzled. Shut up and be muzzled. Shut up and be muzzled. Now, when you, one of the things that comes to mind when you think of a muzzle, you put muzzles on many things, but when I was growing up, and we're walking in down the street, and if I see somebody coming down with a pit bull or Doberman pitcher, I like to see that dog with a what on? A muzzle. Christ our Lord, shut up, hush, and be muzzled. Now, you're going to show your age right here. How many of us remember Old Yeller? Come on, raise your hands. Old Yeller. What about Ren 10-10? Anybody? And who couldn't love dingy? And come on, probably, maybe, the most famous one is Lassie. Well, Sunnyvale SBC, let me tell you something. This storm wasn't a Benji storm. It wasn't a Lassie storm. It wasn't a Ren-10-10 storm. This was Cujo. Come on, y'all say amen. How many of y'all seen Cujo? I mean, it was ferocious, mad, raging. It was a Cujo storm. And even as rough as Cujo was, the Lord says, I want you to be muzzled. And look what happened. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Be muzzled. Be muzzled. And the text says that the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. Perfectly calm. One Greek scholar said this, the sea sank to rest as if exhausted by its own beating. The sea sank to rest as if exhausted by its own beating. And don't you know if Jesus can calm the wind and calm the storm, he can calm whatever in your life? And if he's not doing it, he's preparing you for something. I'm telling you, he is. He's preparing you for something. He understands the tears, and he understands the fear. He really does. But I want you to know he's preparing you for something. Let's remind ourselves that the Lord responds to our negative circumstances. And let me say this as we approach closing this out. Let's remain fearless when it comes to telling others about Jesus Christ. Let's remain fearless. Fearless. Because Jesus says in verse 40, and he said to them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And let me say parenthetically here, because this is really beautiful to me. It's amazing how, if you go back up to 38, the disciple says, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? It's almost like a mild rebuke of, gee, don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you see what's going on? I call this the two rebukes. The disciples tried to mildly rebuke the Lord, and the Lord gets up and he rebukes the sea. He didn't even answer them. Don't miss that. Right away, he rebuked the wind and the sea. And then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? In verse 41, they became very much afraid and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Who is this? Who is this? Who is this Jesus? That even the wind and the sea obey him. You know what? Yeah, so whatever fears we have, let's get rid of that. And let's not be afraid to tell people about who Jesus is. Look at these disciples. They asked that question. The disciples that turned the world upside down, they said, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? You have a testimony. This is their testimony. Now, you have a testimony as well. You have a story as well. Whatever the Lord has done for you in your life, you ought to tell somebody about it. And let me tell you this, nobody can tell it like you can tell it. If he has delivered you from a trial, you ought to tell somebody. If he has delivered you from danger, you ought to tell somebody. If he has healed your body, you ought to tell somebody. If he hasn't healed your body but gave you the strength to go on, you ought to tell somebody. You ought to tell somebody the goodness of the Lord. Listen, who is this? This Jesus is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the bright and morning star. He is the bread of life, the light of the world. He is God Almighty. He is the Lord who reigns. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the one that came down to earth and walked the earth, talked like us, walked like us. And oh my gosh, he's the one who went to Calvary's cross and hung, bled, and died. And was buried in the grave. And on the third day, hallelujah, he got up with all power in his hands. Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? He is Jesus, the Son of God, and God the Son. Fully human and fully divine here. He's Jesus. So in closing, I want to encourage you. Keep praising him. because he's in our boat. We're all in the same boat. Verse 36, leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat just as he was, and the other boats were there with him. They took him with them in the boat. He's in your boat right now. Whatever it is, wherever it is, he's with you. Love on him and tell people about our glorious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.